Utah is one of 7 U.S. states that run elections mostly by mail. And Utahns frickin' love it.
Mail-in voting is simply efficient and effective.
And I am totally for mail-in ballots.
Love
mail-in balloting.
And I love mail-in voting.
KUER put out a call to listeners asking what they thought about vote by mail. So many of you responded.
Literally dozens. Thanks, BT Dubs.
And honestly, in a polarized society, what a consensus.
I just felt like I was a much more informed voter when I could sit down with the ballot and a computer and find information.
I used to work at the polls on election day, and it was a lot messier. I'm 65 years old. I'm disabled and have been for quite a while.
We are handicapped and cannot go out into public places. And so for us, this has been a blessing to have.
I consider those people who live in rural areas, and I think that it's a wonderful way to include as many people as possible.
There's nothing wrong with our voting system.
Everything to complicate or restrict mail-in voting is just voter suppression.
Please, legislators, put your heads together and do not do away with this important right.
Expect that you'll probably hear a lot of people respond just like I did. I hope. Hope it gets through some thick skulls. Thank you. Goodbye.
But lawmakers are looking to make changes to the vote-by-mail process. Why, you might ask? They say it's in the name of voter security and election integrity.
And this is just one of several bills that tinker with Utah's election system. I looked, and there are more than 80 bills at the time we're recording this that either have to do with election administration or election law.
Is there even that much to change, Sean? That's a ton of election-related bills, okay? I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. This week on State Street, what's changing with elections? And why do lawmakers believe all this tinkering is necessary?
We're not going to get into all these election bills, but let's focus on one big one, HB 300. This bill will impact all 1.7 million active Utah voters out there.
And this is worth saying. A lot of what we're seeing this year is colored by all the talk about election security since the 2020 election. This bill would make some pretty significant changes to how vote by mail works here.
We're always going to keep it real with y'all. This bill has changed a lot over the course of the session. I've been keeping up with this, and it really started out as a voter ID law. Legislative leadership says there's a sizable portion of Utahns who would feel more comfortable in elections with more voter ID provisions. And the data does back that up. Pew Research found bipartisan support for some kind of voter ID laws. Republicans were more on board, though. But in addition to voter ID rules, this bill also made vote by mail as we know it completely unrecognizable.
I want to take a quick step back. Right now, all active Utah voters are automatically sent a ballot in the mail, and you can return your ballot in the mail if you want. It's pretty simple. But the first iteration of the bill did away with half of that formula. Basically, you could still get your ballot in the mail and fill it out at home.
Yeah, Google what's on your ballot to your heart's content.
But you'd have to return it in person.
Precisely. No more sticking that ballot in the mail before you leave for work. You'd have to drive to a drop box where poll workers would check your ID to make sure you're a valid voter. Or you'd have to physically walk up to a polling station to drop it off, where your ID would also be checked. Or you vote the old-fashioned way, in person, also with an ID. Again, this was the original version of the bill.
As we mentioned earlier, vote by mail is really popular, and people generally trust it. Just last October, a poll by the Deseret News and University of Utah's Hinckley Institute of Politics found 3/4 of Utah voters are confident in the state's vote by mail system. And conservative think tank the Sutherland Institute found in January that a whopping 87% of people surveyed were very or somewhat confident that Utah ballots are secure.
Utah started using a vote-by-mail system in 2004. It became universal in 2018, and that was to make voting easier. It has proven effective. Since Utah adopted vote-by-mail, voter turnout has increased. 90% of voters submitted a ballot in 2020, compared to about 70% in 2000, when vote-by-mail was not in place.
When the bill changing vote-by-mail was first heard in committee on February 4th, many lawmakers and members of the public weren't so stoked on the changes it would make. There were big concerns about accessibility, especially when it comes to disabled voters who can't easily get to a drop box. Some Republican lawmakers said they would vote to pass the bill out of committee, but that same yes vote was not guaranteed on the House floor unless there were some big changes.
And changes there were. This is an argument that lawmakers said that the process works, the legislative process works. We're listening to the people because we made changes to this bill. So fast forward to the House floor debate on February 25th. I'm sitting there listening to the debate and had to pause and ask myself, am I even hearing the same piece of legislation? Don't get me wrong. It still makes some pretty big alterations to the system Utahns know and love. But to understand those changes, I sat down with the bill sponsor who represents Southern Utah County, Republican Representative Jefferson Burton, who prefers I call him Jeff. Representative Burton, for the purpose of the podcast, what is changing with vote by mail?
Okay, so the primary differences are you have to opt in. And we tried to make the opt-in really easy. Initially, it'll be challenging because people are going to need to be educated and know what to do. But once this goes into full effect in 28, your opt-in lasts for 8 years. And when your driver's license or your state ID expires, there's going to be a very clear question, yes or no, do you want to vote by mail? Yes. You check it, you're good for another 8 years. The other change is to the vote by mail is that you simply have to include the last four of your driver's license or your state ID, those four numbers. In that way, when the clerk opens that envelope, they can quickly check the state database and see that you are who you say you are. The chances of somebody stealing one of your state identification cards and your voting materials is pretty slim. And we think that will assuage some of the concerns about people who shouldn't vote voting. Those are the two primary changes. You have to opt in, and there's going to be another piece of paper or another requirement on your vote by mail, just that four numbers.
Why did you decide to run HB 300?
Well, I think fundamental to our constitutional republic is the fact that citizens should be able to trust that elections are free and fair, and it doesn't matter what party you're in. I think that's something that people care about. The elections are well run, that only those who are citizens should be voting, and that's clearly demonstrated in the way you execute an election.
Do you think this has always been a concern since the very start that Utah implemented vote by mail, or is this something that has become more of a concern in recent years and in recent elections?
You know, I think if you go back and do the forensics on why Utah did vote by mail, I think you'll find, at least this is what I've found, is that We went to vote by mail because we actually wanted more people to vote. If you look at voting numbers, vote by mail is a good thing for getting people out to vote. Our numbers went up dramatically. But I think in recent years, of course, there's been less trust in institutions in general. There's not trust there. And why is that? Well, maybe because the people running them aren't trustworthy. I don't know. Or maybe it's because we live in a world where there's a lot of information available to people now. And so they hear stories, true or false, it causes them to question. And so there is a large constituency that has been afraid that maybe people that aren't citizens are voting. And I think we had a constituency here that was concerned about that. Others weren't, to be frank.
Do you think it was a vocal minority of people who were concerned about it?
Sage, it depends on who you're talking to. In my district, I think there were probably a lot more people that were concerned about it maybe than in downtown Salt Lake City, for instance. But it's real, and you try not to ignore any voice. I like to talk to everybody, even if they don't like my policies. I want to talk to them because that's what I love about this country. We should be able to agree or disagree and do it civilly. We're just trying to make the vote more secure, and make people happy by keeping the vote by mail, Because the last thing I want to do, and I've been accused of this a lot, is I want to suppress the vote. It's a much changed bill, and I would argue it's because we've listened.
There has been a concern, I think, from disability advocates, but also people of the Indigenous community, that this kind of opt-in, when you, for example, have to go in and renew your license, that some of them, A, don't have a license, right? Or they don't have the ability to go into a DMV and do the proper procedures, which is why they just don't have an identification. What is the solution from your standpoint? Is it addressed in the bill?
There are people who don't care to have a driver's license and have never cared to have a state ID card. That's why we're making the state ID card free, and that's why we're doing some outreach. I've met with the three different tribal groups leaders to talk about this. I've lived personally on 8 different reservations, and I understand deeply the challenges that they face out there. Many of them maybe don't even have documents to show when they were born or where they were born. Some people may live across the Arizona border and have a Utah P.O. box. And I've talked to tribal leaders about trying to get maybe a mobile van down there to help them get state ID cards. We're accepting tribal membership cards. If you look at our secondary and tertiary forms of identification that don't have pictures, but we're trying to help anybody and everybody who wants to vote. Now, to the point about the handicapped, in the bill, it's made very clear an exempt voter, the county clerks can decide who that is. If a person is handicapped, they're bedridden, they're in a care center, they can vote totally electronically.
A majority of people are very pleased with the process. So there's been a question out here, why fix a system that doesn't seem broken?
Well, that constituency may think that the system isn't broken, but the primary purpose for the bill was to instill confidence in those voters that don't feel like the system is secure, primarily because we haven't required ID. Prior to vote by mail, I mean, every state required ID. You'd walk into the polling station and you'd vote. But with technology changes, we understand that people that have 2 jobs and can't stand in line for 2 hours at the junior high still want to vote. And so they can have that by the vote by mail. But adding the ID assuages the other constituency that feels like we're letting people vote that shouldn't vote.
My very last question to wrap things up is, you've made it through a lot of hurdles. You got the majority of your caucus in support on the House, but now you have a big monster in the Senate. What changes do you see coming to this bill?
Do I think it'll remain unscathed? No, I've already talked to the Senate. They've already got a couple of amendments to the bill. And I trust them to do the right thing. I'm supportive of just getting the bill through, so that we have the ID, so that we have the vote by mail sustained, and so that people are not disadvantaged. That's really, truly that in my heart of hearts, that's what I'm most worried about. I don't want to disadvantage anybody. And I really believe that with the free ID, we're trying to encourage more people to vote.
That was Republican Representative Jefferson, Jeff Burton.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from some vulnerable communities who rely on vote by mail. You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. So we just heard from Representative Jeff Burton, bill sponsor. Sean, let's get a recap of the quick hits of how this bill functions now.
Sure thing. No more automatic vote by mail. You got to opt in to get a ballot sent to you, or else you're voting in person. And that opt-in would be valid for 8 years. Everyone will have to opt in if they want to vote by mail by 2028.
You'll also need to write down the last 4 digits of your Utah driver's license or state ID card. That's so your county clerk can verify who you are and that you're registered to vote in Utah. Utah says it'll give out state IDs for free for those who don't have one. Tribal IDs and treaty cards are also acceptable.
all mail-in ballots, with the exception of voters overseas, that's like military members or missionaries, would need to be at the county clerk's office on election night. If your ballot isn't at the clerk's office by 8 p.m., aka when polls close,
tough luck, Buttercup.
Your vote won't count.
When this bill first came down, a lot of people said it did not pass the vibe check. A few groups in particular had big concerns. Indigenous and rural communities and advocates for older Utahns and people with disabilities, to be exact.
Let's start with advocates for older Utahns. Joe Hirabayashi is the Utah Advocacy Director for AARP. He says the original version of the bill had the potential to be really harmful to older Utahns.
We have plenty of members who do have mobility concerns, who are of older age and who might not have a car or live far from a polling place. And we've heard indications that they simply wouldn't have voted. And so we would have disenfranchised potentially thousands and tens of thousands of members who would have liked to send their ballot in via mail.
He commended bill sponsor Burton for making significant changes.
I think it's important that voters have confidence in their election system. The indications we've heard is that voters are confident in the system. However, if minimal changes can be made that improve the confidence of the voter while maintaining the accessibility of others, I think that's fine.
On to disability advocates. Nate Krippis is a supervising attorney with the Disability Law Center. He agreed with Hirabayashi. The original bill was a lot worse. He was a hard no on that one. The new version does address a lot of the issues he had, but he still has questions. There are exemptions under the bill that would allow people without an ID to vote. Representative Burton says this specifically targets people who are bedridden or can't leave their homes to get an ID. However, it's not very uniform.
Some of the questions I would have now is just how these exemptions are going to be. How are they going to be implemented? Is it county by county? Is it going to look different by county? I think that's going to be one of the challenges we're going to have to think through. The other is just, I know that they have said they're going to make it so that every person, you know, can get a state ID for free. But because of those challenges I mentioned earlier about people getting to polling places, could also be a problem for a lot of folks if they, again, are in a long-term care facility, live in a rural area, and don't, you know, have immediate access to getting out and doing that. And so I think, you know, requiring a state ID for anyone who may not have one, certainly I think for voters with disabilities could present more of a challenge.
And even with the changes, Krippis wonders exactly what the point of the legislation is.
We're not sure what's broken, that it needs fixing. And so I think that is one of the questions we have ultimately about the need for HB 300.
It's the same sentiment we heard from rural Indigenous voters.
Darren Perry is the former chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation. He told me he thinks all of this is reactionary.
Well, here we are fixing something that's not broke and not even close to being broke. I mean, for a group of lawmakers that have a supermajority that win by, you know, huge amounts in elections, to start throwing those things that they hear nationally out, like, you know, voter security and voter fraud and all kinds of things that could happen with vote by mail. Well, if you listen to the lieutenant governor and the governor, we have one of the most secured systems in the state. So the fact that we want to try and change that, there's a disconnect for me. I really don't understand it.
He says the changes make the bill better, but it still creates another barrier for Native Americans who live on reservations to vote.
One of those groups that does voter outreach in remote rural communities is Stewardship Utah. Tara Benali is a member of the Navajo Nation and a field organizer in San Juan County. She says the voting process is already complicated for some of those communities. There are people on the Utah-Arizona border where their closest infrastructure is across the state line.
And those individuals that live on the Utah side get Arizona IDs or Arizona driver's license. And so because their post office is located on the Arizona side of the state line. And so even though they reside on the Utah side, they're getting their driver's license and ID on the Arizona side. Leave it as it is. Mail-in ballot works for everybody. Just leave it. That's, you know, it's plain and simple. Why complicate the process?
Perry also brought up the Navajo Nation. A lot of Diné people live in very remote areas. Some areas on the nation don't have an address or electricity or running water.
You know, their life is tough enough without making us making it tougher.
Perry says there's going to have to be a huge education effort in these communities. That was already a big, big lift the first time when Utah opted for vote by mail. Now those efforts will need to be repeated.
In order for many of them to participate, I think you're still going to have a group of people like those activists who went down and really banded together to get everybody registered. So while it's better than the first one, it still puts a few barriers in the way for some people. And I'm afraid some people are just, you know, elders that are getting up there. They'll just say, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Benally told me changing the current vote-by-mail process could also fuel more distrust between Indigenous Utahns and the government.
I think it's frustrating for our legislatures to say that they're doing a good thing for us. But when we sit to talk, when we go to the, make it a point to go up to the Capitol, which is 6 hours away from our place of residence, and even further in Navajo Mountain, which is another 4 hours, so about 10-hour drive, to get up to the Capitol to sit down and talk to them and try to help them to understand what messing with the election process means to us down here. We have made it a point to get our community members to register and vote because the people have wanted change for so long, for decades, and we're finally at that point where that's happening, and then to just kind of to push them away again is it's again the people just really just honing in on that distrust for the government.
Importantly, another group is publicly opposing HB 300. County clerks and auditors put out a joint statement on Thursday. They said while they appreciated the sponsor's efforts to change the bill, they still oppose it in its current form. They highlighted there has been no evidence of widespread fraud or errors in Utah's elections, and that any improvements to election law should move the state forward, not backwards.
HB 300 has passed the House and is on its way to the Senate. We expect even more revisions there. So, 2025 is turning out to be a big year for elections at the legislature. Remember those 86 bills we mentioned earlier?
How can we forget? Give us a little taste of what else lawmakers are looking to change this year, Sean.
We try to stay away from bill numbers on this show because who's got time to memorize all those? But we're going to list some of them off just to make some differentiations between them. You ready?
Oh, ready.
HB 231 would create primary runoff elections. Right now, if a primary has more than two candidates, the person with the most votes wins, even if they don't have more than 50%. In this version, if nobody gets over 50%, there'll be a runoff between the top two vote-getters. That one is still getting some kinks ironed out in the House.
HB 369 would create a conflict of interest elections officer. This person would step in as the state's chief elections officer for the lieutenant governor if the lieutenant governor is a candidate in a race they're overseeing.
HB 445 would get rid of same-day voter registration. It would require you to register to vote 21 days before an election.
Let's end this on kind of a fun one. HB 351 would make Election Day a state holiday.
Is that more like Labor Day or National Hot Dog Day?
The latter. Election Day would be a commemorative holiday, meaning your employer doesn't need to give you the day off.
It's not like we journalists would get the day off anyways.
Dude, Election Day is our Super Bowl. It's a party, and someone always wins. Back to all of these bills, though. It's a ton to keep track of, and that's not even all of them. Literally, we mentioned less than a tenth of all the bills tackling elections.
And remember all those people who left us voicemails. They really care about this.
True, true. But you heard Burton, I mean Jeff, say it himself. There's a constituency who really wants to change the vote-by-mail process. This bill attempts to appease them. To be frank, I don't think the latest version of the bill is going to deliver on what they want. But lawmakers say this themselves all the time. You'll never make everybody happy.
I also can't stop thinking about what we heard from all the advocates we talked to this week. Rural, Indigenous, elderly, and disabled Utahns all rely on our vote-by-mail system to make sure their voices are heard at the ballot box. It's given them the chance to participate in the democratic system more fully. Benally had some thoughts on that.
being able to help individuals to understand why this process is important to us and why we need to be a part of it really helped to bring the communities to realize and understand why voting was important. Because when we participate, it helps us to move a lot of our projects and programs forward, and that helps the state and federal government and even the tribal nations to see that the census in those communities is a lot higher than expected, and turnout at voting location is a lot higher than expected in previous years.
Making that voting system even a little bit harder could give people one more reason not to vote at all. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. We simply could not do State Street without our team. On the digital side, that's Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark are responsible for editing and audio production here at State Street.
And Caroline Ballard is our executive producer, who helps us conceive, write, schedule, edit, record, produce. Well, you get the picture.
See you next week.
Part of the reason why Utah started using vote by mail, so my vote by mail. Have you tried it?
From KUER.